How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
And I believe the Lord wants to give us clear words. Well, we've been studying and exercising the authority of Christ. And last week, we just about finished it. In order to exercise the authority of Christ, now we're way back, I guess we're on page 2 already. I didn't want to review everything we did already, so you need to know that you have Christ. You're going to exercise His authority. Then we learned last week that we need Christ in us that gives us the ability to exercise His authority. We must have Christ. Then we learned last week that we need to know that the Christ who is inside us is greater than the enemy that's in the world, that's Satan, that's in the world. He's called the God of this world. People have made Him their God. They act like Him. They act out the same principles Satan acts out. And so He has become their model. And His kingdom thrives upon this anarchy of self-rulership. So, you've overcome because greater is He that's in you than He is in the world. So we don't have to worry about, is the Christ in us big enough to handle the devils that are around us? The answer is clear that He is. And then, we need to know that He has given us His authority. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We spent a few moments last week. This word power has to do with the delegated ability or influence that comes from Jesus has been given to us to overcome this other kind of power of Satan. And then we learned last week that we must learn to use the authority, or to use Christ's name, rather, authoritatively. So He has, in fact, given us His power of attorney. So, for example, in my wife's company, she's given me power of attorney, so I can go anywhere and act as if she were the signer. I have the same power to act on behalf of the company because of a power of attorney. And that's what Christ has given us. He's given you the right to use His name in dealing with devils. And not only dealing with devils, because last week we learned that the using of the name has 7 applications. We gather in His name, or 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. We gather in His name. Last week we learned that we receive children in His name. Whosoever shall humble himself is the same as greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And we learned also that we give in the name. Whosoever give you a cup of water in my name. And so our giving is in the name of Christ. And we do works. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so the name of Christ is given to us. And so we cast out evil spirits. Paul turned and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of this woman. And the same hour the demons came out. Whoops. And then we are baptized. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. And then last week we learned that the miraculous happens. Peter says, silver and gold have an end. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Such as I have. When you got Christ and the delegated authority He's given you to use His name, you can do the same works that He did. And so the miracle occurred. Now, I didn't put this in your notes, but this is kind of significant. I confess to you, I didn't know this until recently. The Holy Spirit functions in the name of Jesus. Did you know that? His whole function is based on the name of Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So the Spirit of God now functions in us and through us and by us as if Jesus were here doing it, because he functions in the name of Jesus. There's nothing unChrist-like about the Holy Spirit. He functions in the name of Jesus. All right, and so here's what we learned end of last week. We know that we have Christ, know that Christ in us is greater, know that he has given us his authority, and we know that we are to use Christ's name authoritatively. Now, here we go tonight. You must use his name in faith. This is really important. Look at this. And his name, now watch this phrase, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. It isn't simply a formula deal where, okay, Christ is in me. Christ in me is greater. And I've been given his name. And I should use the name authoritatively. It isn't just following that first fourfold formula. It requires faith. Now, gazillion sermons could be preached and should be preached on faith. Faith is what moves God. Faith is critically important. For example, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you discover a tremendous secret. I mean, you've read the story, how they marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls fell down. What made the walls fall down? Faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Faith made them fall. Faith is the activating force that God has given us to bring into existence that which is not now. It is faith. So we have his name. We need to use his name authoritatively. But watch this now. It is not just his name, but through faith in his name, this man was made whole. Let me show you a couple more verses about this because it's important. Here we go. Now, here's a situation where Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil went out of the child, and the child was cured from that very hour, right? And the disciples came, and he said, How come we couldn't cast out this devil? We tried and it didn't work. You come along and you cast him out. What made the difference? And Jesus said unto them, now watch this, because here is the key. Because of your unbelief. What does it take to cast out devils? It takes Christ in you, Christ greater in you than in the devils in the world. It takes the authoritative use of his name, but it takes faith. Faith in his name. And the reason the devils didn't come out when the disciples tried to cast them out is because of their unbelief. Now watch this. Because Jesus goes on to clarify it. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, remove hence, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. It is a function of faith. Now, I have had a number of occasions, not thousands, probably more than 100, where I have been called upon or was in a circumstance where I had to deal with the devil or demons or evil spirits. So I don't have a lot of experience, but I have some. I want to tell you that what moves the devil out of the person you're praying for is your faith. The spiritual world operates on principles of faith. Okay? And you could have a formula. The disciples had it. They came. Jesus, we tried to cast the devils out of this girl and they wouldn't come out. How come you did it so easily? And he said, the reason is faith. Because if you had faith like a grain of mustard, you could move a mountain. So it doesn't take a lot of faith, but it takes faith. We're not talking about moving mountains right now. We're just talking about moving devils, moving evil spirits out of a person, out of a home, out of a circumstance, out of a situation. The key that makes the authority of Jesus in you functional is your faith. It's the use of his name, and watch this now, faith in his name. Faith does it. It was interesting because it was here in this church a couple years back, maybe more than that, a young lady who had attended here and her husband for a long time. She had a tremendous zeal for the Lord and a habit of smoking that matched her zeal to the Lord. And she came to me one day and she said, I need to get deliverance. I have a devil. And so I made an appointment to meet her. She and her husband, I think, who else was in that meeting? Were you in that meeting? And we met. And before I went there, the Lord prepared me to deal with her. And I knew that hers was not just a physical addiction to nicotine. She needed deliverance. So, in the meeting, sat there, they sat in front of me. I forgot about everybody else, but I focused on her. They were the sort of bystanders. And I said to her, evil spirits are going to come out of you today. It's going to end today. I wasn't being presumptuous. I was not pronouncing, hopefully, that this was going to happen. I really believed it was going to happen. And I said, here's what I'm going to do. In a few moments from now, I'm going to lay my hands on you, and I am going to cast out those evil spirits. All you need to do is open your mouth and let them out. I want you to breathe out. That's all you have to do. So she bowed her head. I prayed to the Lord initially, and then I turned to her. I placed my hands on her brow and commanded evil spirits to come out of her. She opened her mouth and she began to shake and quake and quiver. And everybody that was in the room went in shock because there was an effect, an evacuation going on. Something of spiritual matter that was in here, her, was coming out of here. And by the way, it comes out your mouth. And within 30 seconds, my prayer was over. The demons were out. The girl broke out into a big, wide smile. I'm delivered. She started to shout, everybody in the room. Now, I use that illustration because here's what I want you to catch from it. I knew, my dad had this definition of faith. Here it is. Faith is the perfect knowledge of the absolute will of God. Faith is the perfect knowledge of the absolute will of God. I had a perfect knowledge that when I spoke in the name of Jesus, those evil spirits were going to come out. It wasn't that I have this formula, I hope it works, I'm going to try it on this girl. Because it isn't just simply using his name, it is his name and through faith in his name. And that's what activates the Spirit of God and evil spirits as well. So Jesus pointed out here, why couldn't we cast him out? Because this problem of unbelief, because what you really need to do is faith. You need to speak the name of Jesus, not in rote memory or repetition, but by faith. Can't overemphasize that. And then, once there is, in this case, an exorcism of evil spirits, I cannot emphasize how important this is because Jesus made it this important. It is not enough for that, on that particular Sunday afternoon, it was not enough now for that girl to have the evil spirits out of her. That's where deliverance starts. You got to get the spirits out. But then you have to minister to the person after the spirits are out. Now, watch, because the scriptures are going to show you why. When the unclean spirit, and by the way, these spirits are unclean. You don't think clogging up your lungs with cancer-causing nicotine is an unclean thing? It's a problem of cleanliness. Unclean spirits want to pollute the body. They want to pollute the mind. They want to pollute the spirit. They are unclean. They are filthy. And when the unclean spirit has gone out of man, the spirit that he, that is, that's, I believe, referring to this unclean spirit, he walks through dry places and he seeks rest and he doesn't find any. So the evil spirit, after even being kicked out by the power of Jesus' name and through faith in his name, look at this now, says, I will return to my house. I don't come back into this girl from whence I came out. He wants to come back. Demons want to come back. Now watch this. When the demons came back, I want to go back. I'm going to return from whence I came out. And when he has come back, he finds that person empty, swept, garnished. Now watch this. This person out of which the demons were expelled is now clean. Isn't that good news? That's what happens when you get rid of devils. Now, I have been into I haven't been to the worst places in the world, but I've been in some bad ones. I have walked the streets of Port-au-Prince, Haiti for hours, day and night. I spent weeks there. You could always recognize the hut of a Christian. They all have huts. I mean, despicable. No bathrooms, toilet systems, no sewerage systems, just a ditch down, kids running through it on the streets, and everybody excretes publicly. There's nowhere else to go. But you could always recognize a Christian hut. Because, yes, it had a dirt floor, but it was a clean dirt floor. Everything in the hut was hung orderly. It's been so long. I went to so many islands down there. I've been in a lot of huts. Some of them are just pieces of... Most of them are just corrugated tin, four walls, and another piece across the top hanging over the edge and hung together with rope and whatever. A Christian hut is always clean. John Wesley said, cleanliness is next to godliness. Personally, thank you, John, for that. But I believe cleanliness is a part of godliness. Godliness equals clean. Huh? Godliness equals, first of all, clean spirit. The junk comes out of your spirit. Godliness equals a clean mind. You need to garnish, clean, cleanse the mind. Romans 12:1. Your body needs to be clean. Your environment gets clean. It's part of right versus wrong. It's part of godly versus ungodly. It's part of Holy Spirit versus unholy spirits. It's part of heavenly versus demonic cleanliness. So watch this now. The unclean spirit wants to come back, and he finds that it's swept, and it's got some new stuff in there. But here's the problem. It's empty. Now that's the problem. When evil spirits come out in the name of Jesus and through faith in his name, the unclean spirits are gone. The person is now clean because that which was unclean is gotten out of there. But this emptiness is left. Now watch the next verse. Because it's empty, he goes and he takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And then Jesus says, this is so how it's going to be under this wicked generation. All right, now I want you to get the truth of this. It is not enough, but it is necessary. It's necessary, but it's inadequate to cast out evil spirits. But see, my beloved, this is not difficult to do because you have Christ. The Christ is in you that is greater. He's given you the authority of his name. You speak it with authority and with faith in his name. Every time, demons have to go. That's the easy part. It is easier to deal with evil spirits than it is with people. Now you have a person that's clean, garnished, but empty. And that's why in exercising the authority of Christ, now we've got to do something with the person so that they will be filled up with the proper stuff so the demons can't come back in again. So what is that? And I want to suggest to you two things. Number one, you want to get the Holy Spirit dwelling in here. Hallelujah. You don't want a little dab, you know, of God. You want the whole works. You don't want a little bit of the Spirit. You want all of the Spirit that's available to you. That's why the Scripture uses such terms as be filled with the Spirit. And the Hebrew text, be being filled. Just you stay full of the Spirit. No demon could ever get back in there. Because when you got the Spirit in you and you got Jesus in you, remember the Scripture we used last week, that the only way the devil could get back in there is he would have to bind the strong man that's in you first. And that strong man is Jesus. That strong man is Jesus represented personally in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. You want to get filled with the Spirit. I say it is time. Now, dearly beloved friends from denominational backgrounds who were anti-Holy Ghost, let me talk to you kindly and lovingly for a moment. It's time to get over the paranoia about getting too much of the Spirit, or will it really be the Spirit or not? Listen to what the Scripture says. If you ask of the Lord a loaf of bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask of your parents for an egg, will your parents give you a scorpion? No. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? When you ask for the Holy Spirit, you won't get an unholy spirit. In fact, if you don't ask for the Holy Spirit, then you might get an unholy spirit. You cannot get too much of God's Spirit. Glory to God. I'm telling you, for the days that lie ahead, what you want is the Holy Ghost full of you, full in you, filled in you, overflow. How do you know when it's full? Well, you know something's full when it's overflowing. And we ought to be walking in the overflow of the Spirit. Oh, it overflowed. The Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. John chapter 7. He that believes on me. Are you ready? Next phrase. As the scriptures have said. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to believe on Jesus, I want to believe on Jesus the way the scriptures have said. And there are denominations that are trying to get you to believe in Jesus, but not the way the scriptures have said. All right, now listen to this closely. I probably ought to get it in front of you. But I didn't know I was going down this road here tonight, but we're on it. So let's go to John. I think it's 7, 14. Wrong chapter. Why? Okay. Let me do a quick search. Oh. I don't know what happened there. Sorry. Just trying to get the lead here. Oh, I could learn to type. It would help, wouldn't it? Without glasses. He that believeth. Oh, John 7:38. Right chapter, wrong verse. He that believeth on me, and I want you not to miss this, as the scriptures have said. Now, how do you know that you'll believe on Jesus as the scriptures have said? Are you ready for the answer? Because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That is how you know that you believe on Jesus as the scriptures have said. Hello. And this he spake. Now, this is called a river of living water. What's this river of life? This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So, how do you deal with a person? Number one, you get the spirits out. Easy to do through faith in his name. Two, you lead them to the establishment of Jesus Christ as Lord of their life and to the blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. You need the Spirit. Third, there's the other second thing you need, which is the third step here. You get full of the Spirit, and you got to get full of this. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, my house, that I might not sin. Can't see. So you got to get the word. So minister to the person, because if not, seven devils, more vile than the first, will come back, and the last state of the man will be worse than the first. And then lastly, You need to guard the focus of your rejoicing. Jesus says, I give you power. I give you, isn't that a wonder? I give unto you power. Is that ever good, right? I think you probably need to say to yourself right now, I got the power. I got the power. I've got the power. Jesus gave it to me. He didn't give something, take it back. I give unto you power, and you can tread on serpents and scorpions, which refers to devils and spirits, evil spirits, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now watch this. Notwithstanding how wonderful this is, don't rejoice in this. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you. That's not such a big deal. That's normal Christian living. You have to overcome evil spirits every day of your life. You know, it doesn't require some formal act as in an exorcism. But the spirit in us repels evil spirits. This righteous condition in you reacts to evil and uncleanness around you. So, it's great, but don't make that the focus of your rejoicing. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. The white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory. That's mine. About 2.5 weeks ago. I don't know if you knew this. Did you know this? Did you know that God personally keeps track of you in writing? TRAVIS. Got written in heaven. Got written down in heaven. MIKE. Written down in heaven. That's what you want to rejoice in. Up there's a record book, says David in it. One's in his, and Judith is there. And your name. That's what rejoicing. Yeah, it's true. The spirits are subject to us. It's easy to keep them out of your own life because of the power of Christ operating in you. But we also have to help get them out of other people's lives. That's more difficult because after the easy part of casting out the devils, you have to help the person get filled with God, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God, and no devil can ever get back in again. That's how you exercise the authority of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you now for these, how blessed we have been and are. Our future is as bright as your promises. Wow. Heaven, we're going there. We're coming. And until then, we're going to be faithful and true, casting out evil spirits and being full of your Holy Ghost and your word, which is done in the name of Jesus and through faith in his name. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.